Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is right now 8:30, and it's time for our Community Connection, brought to you in part by Tallgrass Motors, also Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home, and our best bank. On the telephone with me, we have Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation, Chuck Hoskin, Jr. Chief, salutations, good morning, and how are you today?
Tom, I'm doing well.
Well, I understand that we've got some things going on in Bartlesville today to the tune of flu vaccinations.
Flu vaccinations, you know, flu vaccines are important every year, particularly important this year. You know, last time we talked, Tom, we were talking COVID, and things were not looking great. I can tell you that the numbers we're seeing show some improvement. I think that's good, and it's improvement not only here in Tahlequah, but across the region. We still need to be on guard. So where does the flu shot come in? Well, you need to get it anyway, but especially this year, because we don't need, you know, the double whammy of flu and COVID. So getting the flu shot is all the more important. Today in Bartlesville, at the senior apartments on Leisure Lane, from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., we'll have flu shots available. That's for everyone, Tom, just like our COVID vaccines, everyone who's eligible from a health standpoint to get the vaccine, they can get it there for free. Across the region, we'll be doing this. People can go to health.cherokee.org to learn more about that schedule. But today, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Leisure Lane Senior Apartments in Bartlesville, get your flu shot.
Chief Hoskin, seems like every time we talk, we've got something to celebrate, and we just recently celebrated Sequoia Day.
We did. So 15th of October, we designated as Sequoia Day. 200 years ago, Sequoia invented the Cherokee Celebrity. That's important in Cherokee history, and it's really was a stroke of genius on the part of Sequoia. You have to remember, before 1821, Cherokees did not have a written language. We certainly had a language of our own, the Cherokee language, from time immemorial, as we say. The written language developed by Sequoia, known as the syllabary, enabled us to speak to each other in writing, obviously, but it also did some other things. We could, as we adapted our form of government, we could put laws into writing, and we could develop a written constitution. That's really important in terms of government, Tom. We kind of take for granted today that we live in a society with based on the rule of law, based on a written constitution. But for Cherokees in that part of our history, it was revolutionary. It also enabled us to start the first newspaper that any Indian tribe had, and we still have that newspaper today, which is the Cherokee Phoenix. But the ability to publish that newspaper in the 19th century in English and Cherokee was very important, because there was a great deal going on. We were resisting our removal. There was a great deal of pressure on the Cherokee Nation, and we really built something in our national character, Tom, at that time as we resisted removal. We grew strong as a people, and it's rare in history that you can point to one person and say that person's genius really sparked a revolution. But that's what happened with Sequoia's invention of the syllabary. Syllabary is still with us today. So on the 15th, I signed a proclamation in English, and I signed one in Cherokee. But look, Tom, I had to have a translator translate the one in Cherokee, because yours truly does not speak Cherokee. Which brings up another point, is that we've got to save this Cherokee language. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a time in the future where the Cherokee chief does speak Cherokee. But what a time to celebrate. And so we took time last week to commemorate that.
And now you also have a little preservation of the language going on in earnest here with a language almost like a school.
We do. We have an immersion school for kids. We've got an adult program we call the Master Apprentice Program. Mm-hmm. But we're also starting our language center. We're doing construction on it. It'll house all of our programs under one roof. The Durbin Feeling Language Center, Durbin yes. Feeling being a language preservationist who every much is important as Sequoia, and we lost him just a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. If people want to explore the language more, they certainly can go about the task of learning it. It's very difficult. We have those programs, but if they just want to explore it from a cultural and history standpoint, Tom, they could come down to a museum. I think you visited the Cherokee National History Museum in the old Capitol building in downtown Tahlequah. We've got an exhibit through the end of the year called Sequoia, an American icon. And if people don't want to travel, right now, if you go on our Facebook page, Cherokee Nation, or on our news website, which is anadisco.com, A-N-A-D-I-S-G-O-I, there is an amazing video, Tom. It's called Sequoia, Voice of the Inventor. What that uses, Tom, is the latest in technology used in the movie industry, because we have it at the Cherokee Nation. So we have made we've really recreated Sequoia using that technology. People can see him using the language and interacting with his environment. It's really amazing. It's free. You can go on our website or our Facebook page right now and check that out.
You know, the museum is really fascinating, because there are new things that come in from time to time. And, you know, it seems like about once a year or so, pop down just to see what's new. But, you know, right as you go upstairs, all of a sudden you realize, you know, this stuff's really real. You get hit with the imagery of the boats coming ashore, and some not making it, and everything else. And you get everything right up to present day. Even have some little films involved with that, too, as long with all of the other great items. And it really gives you a very nice first education, as it were. But it seems like every time I go there, I think I probably miss something. So it gives me a reason to go back.
Absolutely, and we do change the exhibits out from time to time. Mm-hmm. But it's a great museum, Tom, because if you take your family there, you can get most of it in a day.
Yeah.
Grab a bite to eat, and it's a nice day trip for people that live in the region.
It sure is. I understand we've got some film expansion going on.
We do. We take very serious our role in developing the film and TV industry, both from a economic development standpoint for the region and directly for our own interests, that we want to develop our opportunities in the film industry. But a great partnership that brings that all together is our partnership with OSU Tulsa, Oklahoma State University Tulsa. We have developed with that school a film lab, and it'll give an opportunity for people to take credit courses and non-credit courses, but we want to move into the credit-type courses to get a real hands-on experience in the movie industry. So we're supplying a lot of the technology, a lot of the equipment. OSU is supplying the expertise, the academic side of it, the professional filmmaking side of it. And so if people want to go check that out at OSU Tulsa, whether you have a kind of a budding interest in the film industry, or whether you're very serious about getting into it, it's a great thing to check out. But look, Tom, it really is about economic development. There are some serious jobs to be created and economies to be built on the film and TV industry. If people have been paying attention at all at what's going on in Osage County with Killers of the Flower Moon and the actors and other professions that came in for that shoot, mm-hmm. People know that this is real business, and so we want to be a part of that. We want to develop it in Northeast Oklahoma. I can tell you, last time Deputy Chief Warner and I were up in Bartlesville, we're always thinking now of what's a good movie backdrop. We're not experts, but we think of those things. We were in Bartlesville. We both said, my goodness, you could film a feature film up here with these amazing landscapes. So in Bartlesville, that's a place where I think the movie industry could take root, and Cherokee Nation wants to be a part of it.
Great. Great. Hey, you know, I'm going to take you back a little bit to the summer or late spring, back in June, when it was announced that the United States Quarter is going to have a bit of a new look starting in 2022. Wilma Mankiller, the former principal chief of Cherokee Nation, is going to appear on that quarter.
That is just amazing, and it was just wonderful to hear that announcement. And so Wilma Mankiller is one of a few you'd call female icons that it's going to be captured on this series of quarters. But what a place we are in this country in 2021, where as a country, as a nation, we're celebrating Wilma Mankiller. Mm-hmm. You know, Wilma Mankiller has always been important to the Cherokee people. It's nice to see her appreciated by the entire country. I think it says something good about the United States. And look, Tom, we've got plenty of things we could look at the news every day and be kind of down about. When you read a story like that, it really makes you feel proud to be an American, because we're celebrating something that reflects diversity. We're celebrating something that reflects what this country can be about. And Wilma Mankiller was about progress. She was about bringing people together. She was about fighting for her own people, but doing so in such a constructive way. And I think that's what we need to do in this country.
Indeed. And folks, if you ever get the chance to go down to the museum in Tahlequah, there is quite an exhibit dedicated to Wilma. It's there. It's big. And it's really nice.
Indeed. Indeed.
What else we got going on in Cherokee Nation, Chief? There's always something.
Well, you know, there is always something. We've got plans underway to expand early childhood education and housing and some other programs. One of the things I'd like to update folks on is we had our recent meeting with the Intertribal Council of Five Tribes. That's the tribes, of course, that are involved in the McGirt decision. And McGirt's very much a challenge, but I'm happy to report that between the five tribes, we have transferred about 7,000 cases from the wrong jurisdiction to the proper jurisdiction since about the spring. And look, that's important because we all have a job to do. We all have to do what is necessary to provide protection and safety to the public. I just want folks to know that our prosecutors, our marshals, and the same is true for the other tribes, are working hard every day. I know from time to time people will read headlines and they may get concerned. Just know we've got some talented men and women at the Cherokee Nation who are dedicated to protecting the public and upholding public safety. So we're all working hard on that.
And I understand that was quite an investment here in the last year or so for Cherokee Nation, as well as the other tribes, too.
It is. And the other tribe, it varies because we vary in terms of our geographic scope. For Cherokee Nation, we have 7,000 square acres to cover. That's a lot. We've committed this year just over $30 million on top of what we committed in previous years when it was a much different landscape. And so that means, Tom, we're hiring more marshals, we're hiring more prosecutors, we're hiring more people to take care of victims and to provide services to victims. And so that all takes a great deal of money. Sometimes I think, Tom, that had McGirt come down during my grandfather's generation, Cherokee Nation wouldn't have been even close to a position to take on this challenge just because of some really suppressive federal government policies. Even when my father was my age and he started serving on the council of the Cherokee Nation in the mid-90s, Cherokee Nation wouldn't have quite been able to hire the people we need to hire now and to put the resources in now, but we can today. And so, you know, we're at a position of strength. We can take on these challenges, and thank goodness, because it affects everyone living in our reservation.
You know, a couple of years ago when you first began as chief, and boy, it just seems like yesterday, there was talk about having representation in Congress because it's in the treaty. How is that progressing?
Well, it's gone slow. First of all, I knew it would go slow. I mean, anytime you take the Congress to task for a treaty provision that's 180 years old, it's going to take a while to sort of wake people up and educate people. We were making good progress before COVID hit. That sort of suspended a lot of travel to D.C., but we had met with Republicans, we'd met with Democrats, including the Speaker of the House, and we're making some progress. We're picking that back up, and one of the ways that we're doing it is we have a Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, who is now in the executive branch, but she was in the House of Representatives, and she was one of our champions for seating Kim Teehee, our delegate to Congress, just to refresh people's memory. The same treaty 180 years ago that removed the Cherokee people from our homelands also said we get a delegate in the House of Representatives. We are asking the United States to make good on that promise. So we're now starting to engage Capitol Hill a bit more now that it's a little safer to travel. And, of course, we can do things virtually as well. And I think we're going to make some progress in the next calendar year. Congress gets busy and things, of course, you can read the headlines and see that they bounce around sometimes from crisis to crisis. But we are going to continue pressing for the seating of our delegate. It's important. I always knew it was going to be a long road, Tom, but I'm committed to getting it done.
Chief, going back to show business, I see that Saturday Night Live's been having a little bit of a problem in the ratings. Now, have they called you for a little bit of help?
They, you know, they've got my number. They've got my number, certainly. I think I could surely not hurt that show.
Now, that was a while back, but did that surprise you that they included you in one of their skits?
It did. It was a weekend update. Yeah. I had been talking out loud about the Jeep vehicle manufacturer, and it caught some national news. One thing I've learned, Tom, is when you're chief of the Cherokee Nation, when you make a comment, sometimes it can go around the world. That one did, and it landed in New York City or Saturday Night Live. But fortunately, I've got a good sense of humor, especially about myself. So here we go.
All righty. Anything else you'd like to add, Chief, before we close out for today?
No, Tom, it's going to be a beautiful day, and if people ever want to see what to do in the region to go learn about Cherokee culture, they ought to go to a website called visitcherokeenation.com. Mm-hmm. It's full of resources, a lot of stuff that you and I talk about.
Great. Hey, Chief, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day to visit with us. Appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Watto. Right now it is 8:46 right here at K1, the one you trust, and our community connection has been brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home right here on K1.